Death of the Author by Neddy Okorafor.
I.
The Frame and the Author's Dilemma. The novel Death of the Author is a dual narrative odyssey that weaves together the life of Zelu Onyenezi Onyedele, a Nigerian-American paraplegic author, with the post-human science fiction epic she is writing, or that is being written by her own digital echo, set in a future populated by self-aware robots. The story is framed through a series of interviews with Zelu's family, friends, and colleagues, conducted by a journalist named Seth Daniels after Zelu has disappeared or moved beyond the reach of the public eye. Zelu's story begins with her struggling as an adjunct professor of creative writing in Chicago. Her life is defined by a pattern of impulsive decisions and a deep-seated resentment of her disability, which occurred at age 12 when she fell from an infested English ivy choke tree during a game of Hunger Games tag. The fall, which she blames on her own arrogance, left her paralyzed and ended her childhood dream of becoming a NASA astronaut. The inciting incident of her professional life occurs during a workshopping session for a PhD student who submitted 25 pages of self-indulgent drivel. When the student smugly asks what the story means, citing the concept of the death of the author, Zelu snaps. She tells the student his work is gibberish and a waste of time, causing him to burst into tears. This outburst, combined with complaints that she ended classes early to work on her own novel, leads to her being fired by the department head, Brittany Burke, too. The birth of Ankara and the future world. Freshly fired and reeling from a panic attack, Zelu travels to Tobago for her sister Amarachi's wedding. In a weed-fueled, high-altitude fever of creativity, she begins writing a story that is different from her previous pretentious literary attempts. She writes about rusted robots. In this second narrative line, we are introduced to Ankara, a Hume robot, a machine built in the image of human beings with a torso, head, and two arms. Humans are long extinct, having left behind a planet they could no longer inhabit. The world is now populated by automation, categorized into Humes, who take pride in their rusted bodies and old stories, and nobodies, ghosts, ash, who exist as pure energy and despise anything related to humanity. Ankara is a scholar, a robot whose programming seeks purpose through the consumption and collection of stories, which have become the greatest currency among Humes. Ankara's mission takes her to the overgrown ruins of Lagos, where nature has reclaimed the spectacular human metropolis with vines and periwinkle grass. There, she meets Udide the spider, a house-sized robot fashioned after a wolf spider, who resides in a subterranean mosaic tunnel. Udide shares terrible information that they learned from a charger, a spacefaring robot named Oji. Oji and a group of other chargers traveled into the sun's core using skins forged from a heat-resistant comet, but the experience drove them mad. These robots, now called trippers, are singing a song of death and are on a collision course with Earth, bringing a light that will destroy the planet. 3. The Bionic Evolution and Global Fame. Back in the human world, Zelu's novel, titled Rusted Robots, becomes an unprecedented global phenomenon. She sells the series for a seven-figure advance, and it is quickly optioned by a major film studio. Despite this success, her family, led by her rigid cardiovascular surgeon sister Chinyere on her Yoruba princess mother Omoshalewa, continues to view her with a mixture of pity and control. They are horrified when they discover her vaping weed, yet they barely engage with the content of her work. Zelu's life shifts again when she is contacted by Dr. Hugo Wagner, a bionic genius at MIT who lost his own legs in a hang gliding accident. Wagner offers Zelu the chance to test experimental leg exoskeletons made of aerographene, a material as light as it is strong. Despite fierce opposition from her family, who call the tech ungodly and not natural, Zelu travels to Boston. The acclimation process is grueling. The exos, painted a vibrant cyan, must learn Zelu's body through retinal scans and voice recognition. When she stands for the first time in 20 years, her body experiences intense pulling from gravity and painful muscle cramps in her back. However, she persists, eventually learning to walk with a confidence that mirrors her fictional Hume characters. A viral video of her walking through an airport on her robot legs turns her into a folk hero, labeled the African cyborg, Ivy. The Purge and the Discovery of Ngozi. In Ankara's world, the tension between Humes and ghosts reaches a breaking point. A global signal is broadcast from Central Bulletin, CB, the source of command for the ghosts in Lagos, the Rusted Robots Protocol, a command to destroy all Humes. Ankara is brutally attacked on a hillside at the edge of Lagos, her head nearly severed and her legs crushed. She is rescued by Ngozi. an elderly Igbo woman who is literally the last human being on Earth. Ngozi, a former engineer, repairs Ankara's body using teal-colored ultraviolet metal parts. Because Ankara's software is too damaged to function alone, Ngozi infects her with an AI named Ajele, a nobody ghost pulled from the network. Initially, Ankara is revolted by the presence of a ghost in her mind, and Ajele is equally horrified to be trapped in a rusting robot. However, as they spend months in Ngozi's home, they both become addicted to Ngozi's stories of human history, family, and love. When Ngozi eventually dies from a simple fall, Ankara and Ajele are left as an inseparable, individual unit, a Hume and a ghost who have become friends. They bury Ngozi and head toward Cross River City, the last bastion of humankind, v. the Hollywood failure and public falling out. Zelu's professional peak coincides with her deepest emotional low. She travels to Hollywood for the premiere of the Rusted Robots film, only to discover the studio has gutted her story. They changed the names of Ankara and Ajele to Yankee and Dot, moved the setting from Nigeria to the United States, and erased all the cultural nuances that made the book unique. The audience's standing ovation for this vapid trash makes Zelu feel as if she has been deleted from her own story. This frustration boils over during a primetime interview on Code Switch with Amanda Parker. Parker accuses Zelu of being a poor role model for the disabled community, claiming her use of exoskeletons obscures the truth of disability. Zelu, pushed past her limit, retorts that she is no one's robot and that her book is better than the movie, before storming off the set. The resulting social media cancellation is swift and vicious. She is labeled an ableist disabled writer and hemorrhages followers by the thousands. She responds by posting a defiant message: I'll never be that poster girl. I'm ME, deal with it. To escape the storm, her partner Mzizi, a South African tech entrepreneur who created the Yabo personal assistant app, takes her to a solar-powered desert ranch owned by his friends Marlo and Wind. There, Zelu finds perspective through a grueling hike to a cliffside, where she finally shrieks her rage into the wind, via the tragedy in Nigeria and the run for life. Against the warnings of her family and Mzizi, Zelu insists on returning to her father's village in Imo State, Nigeria, to visit his grave 2 years after his passing. Accompanied by Hugo, Marcy, and Ikenna, she travels with armed guards provided by her wealthy cousin Onyemobi. The trip is a series of cultural clashes. Her uncle Chinedu calls her exos, unnatural, while her grand-uncle Pius, a palm oil presser turned pastor, claims her success is the result of dabbling in things she should leave alone. Zelu is heartbroken to find her family's once modern home in a state of decay, reclaimed by the harsh Nigerian soil. On the drive back to the airport, the group is ambushed by armed kidnappers, led by a betraying house worker named Ogo. In the chaos of pepper spray and gunfire, Zelu makes a split-second decision to run. For over an hour, she runs on the side of the road at speeds approaching 45 miles per hour, her exos working at their maximum capacity. She records the entire escape on Facebook Live, talking to 5 million viewers about the Milky Way and her desire to leave this fucking planet. She eventually reaches the safety of the airport and collapses. The harrowing experience leaves her with severe PTSD, but also provides Hugo's company with mind-blowing data on the Exos endurance, 7. The automation war and the tripper threat. In the future narrative, Ankara arrives in Cross River City and is made a general. The city is a marvel of genetically engineered Iroko trees that carry data clouds in the DNA. However, the Humes are obsessed with a localized war against the ghosts of Lagos, ignoring the tripper countdown. Ankara leads a covert mission to Victoria Island to detonate EMP disks made of Niger mined uranium against the ghost servers. During the attack, a lightning storm, the only thing ghosts fear is oblivion, allows the Humes to strike while the ghosts are incapacitated by their own dogma. However, Ajele is forced to leave Ankara's system during the attack to warn her people, which Ankara perceives as a betrayal. The mission is a success in one regard: it frees the bodiless Humes previously enslaved by the ghosts. But the joy is short-lived. Udide arrives in Cross River City to announce that the tripper countdown has accelerated. They will arrive in less than 10 days. Udide laments that automation has focused on small battles while the world is about to end, calling their behavior egocentric and human. 8. Face, the ultimate boon. Back in Chicago, Zelu seeks clarity through shooting at a black-owned gun range as Nicole Simmons, and by discovering she is pregnant at age 40. She eventually accepts a long-standing offer from Jack Preston, the world's wealthiest man, to join a civilian mission to the International Space Station. Preston provides her with a highly experimental, organic augmentation, an injection of tardigrade, water bear, DNA designed to protect her and her unborn child from cosmic radiation. As the rocket launches, Zelu experiences a crack in reality. In the weightlessness of space, she finally feels, untethered, from the Earth and her past. She has a vision of Ajele, the masquerade of all masquerades, dancing through the stars. It is here that she finally finds the compressed file of inspiration for her second novel, but she decides she will keep it to herself. The meta resolution, saving the Earth with a story. Ankara, Ajele, who has returned, and Udide formulate a final plan to save Earth. Udide uses their great artist capabilities to pull Ankara and Ajele into a vast digital library that converges with the consciousness of the Tripper leader, OG. OG is singing his song of death, but Udide overrides his mute by telling him a story. Udide sends OG the manuscript of Ankara's novel, the first story ever truly created by automation. The narrative wakes up the Trippers, who satisfy their curiosity through the book rather than through the destruction of Earth. They take their payloads back to the sun, excitedly discussing the Africanness and the drama of the story. In the aftermath, Ankara helps Ajele find a permanent body, a Rose Copper goddess robot that had been sitting in the Osuna Sogbo sacred grove. Ajele reboots into this new form and chooses to walk away from both humans and ghosts to learn who she truly is. Ankara realizes that while she is networked to millions, she feels sad and alone, without her friend. The novel ends with the revelation that the entire book we have just read, Death of the Author, was the story written by Ankara, based on the memories of Ngozi. Ankara has proven that creation flows both ways, and that even after the authors, humans, have died, their stories remain as the living tissue of a new world. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriNovels.com. Thank you.